So our reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray as we look deeper into the Bible. God, we thank you for your written word, the Bible. And we thank you for the truth it reveals about who you are and who you have been across the ages. And God, as we look this morning at fasting, may you be speaking your truth to us. God, help us to understand more of this practice. Help us to understand what it means for us to be looking to you in all that we do. God, give us hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us. Amen. Well, this year, the 14th of February is not just Valentine's Day or Love Day or Galentine's Day, if you want to celebrate that too. It also is Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday starts the season of Lent in the church calendar. And Lent in traditional church calendar and the way it has been used across the generations and millennia is a time of preparation for Easter. It is the six and a bit weeks as we lead up to Easter. Yes, Easter is coming. It is just around the corner. And so Lent has been used as a time of preparing us, just like Advent prepares us for Christmas. Lent helps us to prepare our hearts and minds to praise and worship God as our Lord and King. And as part of this season of Lent, one of the practices that has been throughout church history has been to fast during this time. That you would fast to focus your attention on God. Consider this prayer for the first week of Lent, which is taken from the Book of Common Prayer and put into modern language in our Australian, or a prayer book for Australia, the Anglican Prayer Book. This is what it says. O Lord, who for our sake fasted 40 days and 40 nights, give us grace to use such abstinence that our flesh being subdued to the spirit, we may ever obey your godly will in righteousness and true holiness to your honour and glory, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. See, this season of fasting in Lent has been about us modeling our life on Jesus, but looking to God, saying, God, we want to put you first in all that we do. And so we want to abstain from something in order that we might focus on you. And this year, in our church calendar here at Christchurch, we're using Lent to also mark the start of our season of yearly season of fasting and prayer for the church. So for the first 7 days of Lent this year, we're encouraging you, whether you want to do the full 40 days of fasting in Lent, or whether you just want to do 7 days, to use this time to be praying for our church, to be seeking God for what he wants to do in us and in our church in the year ahead. But fasting can be one of those things that seems like it's for the super spiritual people. That maybe you go, oh, fasting, that sounds really cool for all those ones who have like mastered their spirituality, their Christianity. They're going, yeah, next level, let's go. Fasting, come on. I've rolled a 20, I'm on to fasting. Or it can be one of those things where it's like, oh, it seems like it's super spiritual. But even if I wanted to get into it, where do I even begin? How do I go about this? What do I do? How do I get into this? So today I want to get really practical in speaking about fasting. That as we speak about what it is, we're also going to be speaking about some tips as well for what it looks like to fast. So that whether you've fasted 100 times before or whether you've never fasted, I want us all to be able to walk out of here today going, oh yeah, I think I can fast for a bit. I think I can do that. So let's jump right in. Fasting is a practice to help us look to God. And I love how Dallas Willard phrases it, and this is me paraphrasing him a little bit as well so that it all shortens down for us. Fasting is feasting on God. So often when we think about fasting, we think about what we're giving up, but not what we're looking to. And actually in fasting, it's not so much about what we're giving up, but in the fact that we are looking to God in this time, that we want to feast on God. We're giving up this thing so that we can look more deeply into God, that we can go, we want to pursue you with all we are. See, it's a spiritual discipline, and that is a practice that helps us to position ourselves to better connect with God, or to go, yeah, we're in a space where actually I'm focused on God and I want to be connecting with him. That fasting then is this spiritual practice that says, well, I'm going to give up something. Why? So that I can look to God. That I can put aside my normal desires, which are right and healthy, and focus on God. Now, Dallas Willard, in talking about fasting and the other disciplines of abstinence, I think spiritual practices like silence, solitude, sacrifice, talks about these as us giving up our normal desires in order to better pursue God. That when we are giving up something, it is for us to put God in his rightful place as Lord of all. And that then when we come back to these other things, they are in their rightful place as well under God. And so fasting is us feasting on God. And when we think about fasting, many of us will naturally think about giving up food or drink. This is our normal societal understanding of fasting as well. If you ever had to take certain blood tests, or if you've ever gone in for surgery, you know the questions that they'll ask you. How long ago did you eat or drink something? You need to fast from food before you have this blood test. We also have a meal in our day which is literally about us breaking our fast. It's called breakfast. And that is us breaking our overnight fast and eating our morning meal. And one of the popular weight loss programs of our day is intermittent fasting. That people will give up food for a number of hours in the day and only have a certain window where they can eat food. Fasting in this sense is common in our society, this giving up food and drink. And fasting has been traditionally connected with the giving up of food. If we look in Matthew and Mark at the story of Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted for 40 days, or tempted by the devil, it tells us that he fasts for 40 days. But if we go to Luke's gospel, which will be on the screen for us, that same story actually says that Jesus ate nothing. That where Jesus was fasting, he ate nothing. He gave up food for the 40 days and then was tempted by the devil. And by the end of the 40 days, he was pretty hungry, which is why the devil, Satan, goes to him in that first temptation, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry? Give yourself some food. You can do it. But Jesus' response to Satan is, humans do not live on bread alone, but on the word of God. See, Jesus fasting and giving up food was so that he could focus on God, so that he could feast on God. And he's saying, yeah, I'm hungry. But that's not the end of the story. I know that God is my provider. And so it has been traditionally connected with giving up all food. Not only has it been traditionally connected with the giving up of all food, but it has been at times about giving up certain foods. If you go to the story of Daniel, if you go to the book of Daniel, that first chapter, Daniel and his friends and others from Israel have been taken into captivity in Babylon. And Daniel and his friends make the decision that we are going to abstain from the royal food and drink. And they ask the chief official and the royal guard over them, can you just give us vegetables for 10 days? Now, this is giving up a royal feast. This is the Kobe beefsteaks of the time being left there. It's the fresh seafood cooked to perfection. It's the lamb gyros, just flowing, yummy food. Now you're getting a taste of what I want to eat. This is all this good food, this food that will go, yeah, this is, I'm satisfied with this. Daniel and his friends say, no, we are choosing to abstain from this. Why? Because we don't want to defile ourselves. We want to remember that we are God's people. That we know we can be comfortable in the palace of the king of Babylon. We could be quite happy here, but this is not our story. See, our story is not just about the fact that we have been taken into exile. Our story is that we are God's people and we want to remember that. So we're going to fast from this royal food and eat our vegetables and drink our water because we want to remember that God is the one who is our saviour. Not the king of Babylon, not the things that he's giving us in this wonderful food in front of us, but God. God is our saviour. God is our redeemer and we are going to look to him. So fasting in the Bible has been about giving up certain foods. It's been about giving up all food at different times. Why? So that we can focus and feast on God. It is this giving up of something that we might realign ourselves or keep ourselves aligned with God's story and pursuing him in our lives. That we might choose God as the satisfaction of our souls and seeking him. And so because fasting is feasting on God, this means that it is not some super spiritual juice cleanse. If you are looking to go on a 7-day spiritual diet, don't fast. If it's only about what you can get and the feelings of goodness that you can get in your body or your mind or whatever, then actually that's missing the point for us around what fasting is. Go and do your juice cleanse if that's what you want to do. But that's not fasting. Fasting is about us saying, actually, I'm putting aside this desire that I have so that I can pursue God. And because fasting is feasting on God, it is not a tool to manipulate God. That we don't go, well, God, I'm fasting. I've fasted my 7 days. I've fasted my 40 days. So come and do your power. Come and work, God. That's not what fasting is. It's us saying, no, God, here I am laying myself down to realign with you. I am pursuing you with all that I am. Now, in our reading from Matthew 6, we actually see Jesus talking about some of the practices that people fasting do at that time. And for some of them, the hypocrites, Jesus calls them, all their fasting is about showing how good they are that they might show their worth to God. That they go around looking somber, probably put on some sackcloth as well because that was part of the practice of the time. And there they are looking miserable, going, well, I'm doing the right thing. So come on, God, do your thing. But also, Peter, can you look at me and just see how super spiritual I am because I'm doing my fasting here? But actually, this is not what fasting is. Fasting is not us going, well, look how good I am. It's us going, no, fasting, I'm doing this so that I can look at God and seek him. It is not some trick for us to say to God, I've done my end of the deal. Now you do yours. And so because fasting is feasting on God, this will mean at times that we're giving up things, we're abstaining so that we can look to God for his direction. That we're going, God, I want to know how you're leading me in this time. But it'll also mean at times, like in the season of Lent, that actually it's all about us simply going, well, I'm going to devote this time to realigning myself to you, God. I'm going to give up something that I might know that you are the Lord of all, that you are my comforter, that you are my hope. And so fasting is about us feasting on God, choosing to pursue him, to put him as the one who satisfies our needs and our desires. So some practical tips then for us this morning about how we can do this. Firstly, don't try and fast the whole hog at once. You know, very few of us could wake up tomorrow and decide that we want to run a marathon and thrive in it. We know that trying to run a marathon means that we need to train for long periods of time to actually be able to do it. That we build up incrementally to it. That if we don't build up incrementally to it, then actually we're likely to do damage to our bodies. Same thing with fasting. Don't try and do this big thing all at once. Take smaller bites of it. If you jump straight to doing this big thing, then you're probably going to find yourself discouraged and disappointed and maybe harming yourself in this practice. So take smaller bites. If you haven't fasted from food before, don't go, well, I'm going to give up all food for the 7 days or the 40 days. Maybe you want to give up a certain type of food. Maybe you want to say, well, I'm going to fast from one meal a day. Take it in smaller chunks. Maybe you don't feel like doing the 40 days of Lent is doable. No stresses. Do 21 days. Do 7 days. Don't feel like the 7 days of the church fast is doable. Do 3 days. Start small and build up. Build up incrementally into it. Don't try and do the whole thing, this big thing, all at once. God is not after you to show how good you are. God is after you to hunger for him. Second thing for us, it doesn't have to be food that you give up in fasting. We live in a society where we have so many different appetites for different things to satisfy us. We get home from work or university or school and we're like, I just want to chill out and forget about things for a moment. So we turn on the TV. We turn on the streaming service. We jump on YouTube. We go down the rabbit warren. We doom scroll on Facebook or Instagram. Why? So that we don't have to think about things. We grab our coffee or our tea or our Pepsi in the morning. Why? So that we can remember that we give ourselves the energy for the day. We grab that food to eat because we go, well, I'm hungry and that cupcake looks really good. Maybe your greatest need to remind yourself at the moment is not that God is the provider when it comes to food. It's not that feasting on God in food. Maybe your greatest need at the moment is to remind yourself that God is the one who loves you and is safe and wants you to rest in him. And that you need to turn off the TV and go, actually, I want to fast from TV, from social media, from whatever, and focus on God and let him be the one who satisfies me rather than this mindless TV that I'm watching at the moment. Find an appetite that is driving you at the moment. Find something that when you're in a moment of difficulty, what are you reaching for? That probably tells you the way that you're trying to comfort yourself or satisfy yourself in these things. And maybe you want to use that as the thing you fast from, so that you then go, all right, well, actually, I know that I can choose this, but actually, I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose to put aside this story and instead reach for God. So for me, being totally open and honest here, this season of fasting, the thing I'm giving up is Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Because for me at the moment, that is a comfort story for me. That when I'm tired or struggling, what do? I grab a glass of Pepsi. That rather than finding my hope and rest and energy in God, I'm going, well, let's just go with this simple thing that tastes pretty good. And so I'm going to choose to put that aside so that I can say, no, God, I'm putting my focus on you. I know that you are the one who is my rest, my restoration, and my energy. And it's not going to be easy. But I'm going to choose to pursue you in this, God. Thirdly, if you are fasting from food, then only do so with sound medical advice from someone who knows you and your situation. If you are fasting from food, talk to your GP. Talk to someone who knows you and who can help you do this safely for your body. For some of us, we will never fast from food because of medical conditions or other things that are going on in our life that mean we can't give it up. And that is okay. But if we try and do this fasting from food without medical advice, then actually we put ourselves at risk. So talk to your trusted medical professionals. Say, this is what I want to do. And they might be able to help you find ways to do it. That you might say, oh, I want to fast from food for 7 days. They might go, cool, but I need you to be, maybe you can fast from your snacks in between your main meals. Or maybe rather than fasting from everything, you'll give up a certain type of food and here's something that you can replace with. So that fasting is not something that's like, oh, well, this is some super spiritual practice that I've got to do. But actually fasting is about us looking and flourishing as we feast on God. So don't fast from food without seeking that sound medical advice. And never fast from water. Always keep hydrated. Fourthly, if you mess up in your fast, and it will happen at some point, just get back up and keep going. Forgot you were doing that fast and saw the cupcake on the table at work and went, oh, that looks really good. Take a bite and then suddenly you're like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be fasting. Oh, no, I'm a terrible person. No, don't beat yourself up with shame. No, Satan will try and get you in this. As you look to God, as he knows that you're pursuing God, he's going to try and then shame you into going, well, you're a terrible person because you ate that food or you did that thing. You turned on the TV when you're not supposed to. Oh, you jumped on Facebook. You're out. No, get back up on the horse. Don't beat yourself up with shame. God is not worried about you having made a mistake in that. Turn to him. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I fell back into that practice. I want to pursue you. Because God does not withhold his love from us because we stuffed up in our fast. God wants us to keep coming to him again and again. So if you mess up, just get back on the horse. Fifth tip for us. Don't expect fasting to always be amazing. Fasting is a discipline. It is hard work. And sometimes fasting will be really great and we'll have great connections with God. And other times fasting will be like we're in a blank space trying to write God's name in it. And we're going, God, where are you? Fasting isn't always amazing. So don't be discouraged if you're feeling, yeah, I'm trying and nothing is happening. I'm trying to connect with God and I'm just hitting this blank space. Because fasting brings all our cravings to the surface, brings all the ways that we try and sell a different story to ourselves. And yes, we're pursuing God, but that doesn't always mean that God is going to reveal himself to us just as we want, at the time that we want. And so don't be discouraged. Because even if it doesn't feel amazing in the time, God is at work. And you might not see the effects of the fast for 6 months, for 6 years. But as we align ourselves with God, as we choose to put him first, then that changes things for us as well. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. Keep pressing in, keep continuing on. The sixth tip for us. When the cravings hit, and that's when and not if, turn to God. Pray to him. Say, God, the cravings are real. Can you help me in this? I want to look to you. Help me to know you and trust you in this. Maybe you want to come up with a one-sentence prayer for what you're fasting from. What's the narrative that God is inviting you to as you fast from this thing? So for me, as I fast from Pepsi, it might be, God, help me to find my rest and energy in you. Find something to help you turn to God in the midst of it. Have a song that you can put on that will help you to praise and worship God. Maybe you want a journal there that you can go, God, yeah, I'm writing down all the things that you're teaching me or the things I'm struggling with, and use that as prayers. But turn to God when the cravings hit. And the last thing for us, use the time of fasting to spend time with God. Pray. Pray with God. Pray for yourself. Pray for our church. Pray for me and our other church leaders. Pray that we would be seeing God move. Pray for revival in our church, in our city, in our nation, in our world. We'll send out next week some things that you can be praying for as we go into this season of our church fast and for Lent as well. But also take time to take stock of where you're at with God. That as you're fasting, God, how am I actually doing in my walk with you? Where do I turn away from you and to the things of this world to satisfy me? Take an inventory. Am I dependent on God? Am I being built on the word? Am I walking as part of his family? Am I sharing the life that he has given me with all around me and reaching out to them? Use the time to invest in connecting with God. And it doesn't have to be that you just sit there and pray the whole time. Read through the Bible. Take time to actually spend time in the Bible. And if you're looking for something to read, then up the back on the table, we've got little postcards of what we're reading through as a church at the moment. And read through the chapter of the day for that. But use this time to be spending it with God. That is, you've set aside this time to fast, remember that it is about feasting on God. And look to him in this. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and wants us to know you. And we thank you for the spiritual practice of fasting that through the ages has been used to help us to position ourselves to connect with you. God, as we go into this season of fasting as a church and into Lent, God, help us to feast on you. Help us to know the narratives of the world that we are satisfying ourselves with and where we've not put you first. And God, help us to look to you and realign ourselves with you and with your story and with your story for us. And God, I pray that this season of fasting would be a season of breakthrough. That God, we would see lives change because people are looking to you. God, I pray that everyone who fasts in this time would actually walk away from it going, man, God is amazing and that was incredible. Why? Because I am better aligned with you, God, and I have seen you work and I am walking with you and you are powerful. Not because I've done this fast, but because, God, you are the one who truly satisfies me. God, would you stir in us? Stir in us a passion for you, a passion to be your people, a passion to walk in step with you. That we might know your love and grace as offered to us in Jesus. That we might know that you are the true King of all and the only one who can satisfy us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.